Mini episode 433 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another very special joint segment with Sportsology and the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Lounge managing partner Rick Morris. Have with me here today good friend, Sportsology proprietor, and FDH Lounge dignitary Russ Cohen to continue a tradition that we've done the last couple of years. It started in our guide, Pro Hockey Draftology, our annual draft guide, and you'll be able to check this out at FantasyDraftHelp.com and Sportsology right about the time that you're hearing this, more or less. And in our guide every year, I used to get written analysis from Russ critiquing our annual NHL Top 30 list. Last year, we spun it into a show segment, and we're just putting the link to the show in the guide. And so we're doing that again this year. We've actually spread it to all of the major sports starting last year. We've already done our NBA one for this summer. The general rule of thumb is this. Per sport, take an average of one athlete per team. So it's an NFL 32 list. The other sports, it's 30. And basketball, I think, is probably the most straightforward. You almost have a hard time getting to 30 and still getting all-star players there. I'd say hockey is probably the next most straightforward. Baseball, doing it midseason is tough. NFL, with all the positions, very tough. What say you, Russ? Would you say this probably comes in about second on the difficulty list for putting it together?
Yeah, there's no question. There's a lot of variables in hockey. Not that there's not a lot in the other sports either, but I guess I want to say there's a lot of variables that don't show up on the stat sheet that affect the stat sheet, and you have to sort of be aware of those, and I think that is part of it.
Well, we may be getting to one or two names very shortly that kind of invoke that and the difficulty of assessing them. And again, the way this generally goes from the FDH Lounge perspective is that the list is, if you were starting a season today or tomorrow, who would you take for your team in what order, essentially, if you were doing a draft, but not necessarily a fantasy draft. It's not all about the stats. It's about who you
right.
want on your team going forward. We already did the NBA one with Ben Chu, managing editor of NBALotteryPick.com. People can check that out. And to go through, and again, you are the granddaddy of doing this list here. I've been doing it with you longer than anybody else, as we said, first in written form, and the last couple of years in show form here. So you've done this drill before. You know how it goes. We'll start, as always, I guess, with the guys who didn't make the list who were on it last year. So I'll go up the list in terms of guys who got bounced and see what you think of them. Last year, Daniel Sedin was number 30. He missed it this year, as did Henrik Sedin at 28. Jacob Voracek at 26. Nicholas Backstrom, 25. Craig Anderson, 21. It almost looks like a what was I thinking kind of a thing when you look at his year this year. Eric Staal, 20. Corey Schneider, 18, which in fairness to him, had he had more of an opportunity this year, he might have had a better chance of making it. Jimmy Howard, 17, a guy who definitely took a step back, I can say, as a Red Wings fan. Chris Letang, 13. Martin Saint-Louis, 11, and a guy who's been on the list the last couple of years but misses it altogether this year. Certainly statistically a down year. We saw a lot from him in the playoffs, though. So thoughts on the guys who didn't make it? Anybody that you still would have put on there?
No. Actually, you know, the guys, I guess the two closest would be Eric Staal, and he, you know, his team's not the best. I mean, even if you went and were to look at, like, Vegas odds, they're something like 66-1. So the offense on the team is okay. It's not great, and it's not his fault. And Voracek, while he had a really good year, I can understand it. I think he's probably, like, in that 31-32 range. He's probably the closest, him or Eric Staal, and he might even be closer than Staal because I still think Voracek has upside. The Sedins are dying. I mean, let's face it, as far as their numbers are concerned, they're getting older. The team's getting worse. I don't know if they're going to have a big bounce back. No, I'm really good with this.
Okay. You know, two things that I'd like to mention here. One, I made a little self-deprecating note about Craig Anderson, but that really kind of shows the difficulty of doing something like this. When a guy is kind of supersonic, really kind of comes from nowhere as far as performing at that all-world level, how do you assess him, actually? And the way that he played the previous year, maybe he should have been higher than 21. That was probably a compromise number if I think back to how it was formed.
It was a compromise. I remember seeing the number, and I said, that's too high, because I wasn't high on Craig Anderson.
Well, yeah. And sometimes these guys show that they're a flash in the pan, and it kind of shows it right there. The other thing I'd like to point out is, in terms of comparing the NBA and the NHL lists, Marty San Luis falling off from 11 altogether versus I go to the NBA list, Tim Duncan still makes it this year at 26. And the way that I kind of think of it is, if you're a power forward or a center in basketball, the magic numbers would be probably 20 and 10. If you're a forward in the NHL, probably more or less a point a game. Tim Duncan's not a 20 and 10 guy anymore, and he still makes the list. Marty San Luis, the minute that he really starts to slip away from being a point-a-game guy, sorry, not room on the list for you anymore. I think that just shows that the hockey is more competitive as far as the top-level guys and the pool of talent.
It's true, and you're right. And, yeah, I sort of look at that, and I do think Duncan still has more impact on the game than San Luis. San Luis has, you know, some really good games. He never really has really bad games, but that one-timer just doesn't hit like it used to. I think Ranger fans saw that this year. So I think it's, you know, it's just.
Absolutely. And it just kind of shows a fascinating contrast there between when you get older in the different sports and a little bit easier to hang on the NBA list, it would seem like.
It
in terms
is.
Of making our way up the list, we've got a third tier that is the narrowest one by far. It's only four deep. Starts at number 30 with Shea Weber, who didn't make the list last year. 29, P.K. Subban, who was 15th last year, a down year statistically from what he did last year, albeit you saw in the playoffs that he can still bring it. 28,
he still has
James
Neal, still a factor.
27 a year ago, pretty solid there. 27, Pavel Datsyuk, he was 8th a year ago, a guy who really kind of fell off due to injuries, not necessarily skill set, but definitely looked a lot more fragile. So as starting to wade into the list now, what do you think of the names on the third tier there?
Third tier, I'm fine. You know, maybe Weber could be a slot or two higher. You might argue that, but he certainly wasn't a Norris candidate, and we expect him to be. So, you know, he had his goals. I think he had like 23 goals. But at the end of the day, I like this list. And, yeah, Datsyuk, you know, he'll probably stay around that area now for the rest of his career. It'd be really – and maybe – even drops out like that last year of it, which is coming, you know, it's getting close. So I'm fine with this. And James Neal is kind of an interesting one because everybody wants to sort of throw dirt on him, but he, you know, he does put up points and he may not put him up when you want him to, and he may not put him up in the playoffs, but this is a regular season list really.
Yeah, by and large. And, he's one of these guys that's really kind of difficult to rate because of being in Pittsburgh, playing with some of the combinations that he does. I know there's a lot of people that say, hey, a lot of people could thrive in that situation, but the fact of it is not everybody does.
Right. That is absolutely true.
As we start to make our way up the second tier, I know there may be a couple of names. As a matter of fact, I know there's at least one that's not on the list that was a narrow miss. We'll talk about that once we've gone through the second tier, because that's probably a little more appropriate then to start looking at who didn't make the list and in your mind perhaps should have. But working our way up the second tier, it goes from 26 to 13. At 26, it's Taylor Hall, 22nd a year ago, so pretty steady. 25, Alexander Steen, making the list, wasn't there a year ago. 24, Duncan Keith, not on the list a year ago. 23, Henrik Zetterberg, down just a little bit from 16th last year. 22nd, Patrick Marleau, he was not represented last year. 21, Chris Kunitz, down a little bit from 14th last year. 20, Erik Karlsson, down from 10th last year. 19 is Henrik Lundqvist, down from 6th the previous year. 18, Anze Kopitar, up from 24th a year ago. 17, Zdeno Chara, up from 29th last year. Patrick Sharp at 16, not on the list last year. Also not on the list last year. 15, Tuukka Rask. 14, Patrick Kane, down a shade from 9th last year. And 13th, a man who took a step up this year, Phil Kessel, up from 23rd on the 2013 list. So thoughts as we start moving up the second tier and we start getting more and more towards what we consider true franchise players?
Yeah, Kessel really deserves it. He had a hell of a year. He had really elevated his game. He's that scorer we all thought he would be. So I think that's just – I think this is tough for Patrick Kane because Patrick Kane's going up against Patrick Kane. And he did have a knee injury at some point, and it did affect him a little bit in the playoffs. But year to year now, Patrick Kane is really, you know, going up against himself in a list like this, not necessarily the field. So I think that's kind of tough, but I can't really argue it. Rask is a great one because Rask really statistically might have been the best goalie in the NHL this year. And so he absolutely deserves it. Boston absolutely was a regular season lock. And so that was good. Sharp deserves it. Sharp's been really on the rise for years and has finally broken through, and I think fairly. Chara's always Chara. Kopitar, you know, if you counted playoffs, we would make him a higher number even than that, but we don't. So I think that's good. But next year's list, he might even be higher. You know, we know Wayne Gretzky said he's in the top 10. I'm not ready to say that yet, but he's really close. He's getting to that point where he is very close. Lundqvist is an interesting one. I mean, with the way that season started and everything else and him getting set for a few games for Cam Talbot, yep, I can understand the drop. And then, of course, he had a great second half and, you know, went right through the cup. So I think they're all fair. Marlow, I don't know, this is probably going to be the last time on the list for him. He might even get dealt, so I could see that happening. Steen could be rising still because he seems to be doing really well with St. Louis. Keith is Keith. He's going to always be in there somewhere. Taylor Hall, I think, will always be in there somewhere. And if his team actually gets a little better, he'd probably rise again, too. I also want to let people know, on the Sportsology site, and I'll include this tonight, on the Sportsology site, there is a mock draft from Anthony Mangione. The reason why you don't see the mock from me anymore is because I do it for CSN Philly. And so I have somebody else now doing it for the website and for the guide when it goes in there. So I just want to let people know.
Excellent. Yes, and you can catch that for the guide as well. And I actually tried my hand at it as well this year with a mock draft. So
there you
we'll
go.
See how that goes. That should be very interesting. It was very adventurous on my part to have tried that for the first time. In terms of this list, yeah, you and I have talked off air a little bit about Kopitar, and he's a tough guy to rate. And again, it just goes to show you that L.A. team, a little bit like some of my Red Wings teams in terms of years past, I would say that more so late 90s, early 2000s, in terms of being deep with leadership, because Kopitar, we're giving it to him for being the consummate winner, and it's kind of interesting. The guy doesn't even wear the captain's C on his own team. He's clearly the best forward that they have. He's a guy that provides a lot of leadership, but it's kind of unusual to give a guy a boost like we have on the list in terms of those intangibles for a guy who's not even a captain.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely fair. And maybe someday he'll be the captain, you know, not that Dustin Brown's an old guy, but, you know, if he ever gets traded or if he ever gets injured or if there's a, you know, a time where he misses the season and they have someone fill in as captain, I think Kopitar could be that guy. I was in the locker room at the Stanley Cup and did see the swarm around Kopitar, and I think he's been building towards this. I interviewed him back in the day when he was making the Young Stars team for the All-Star game, and I actually ventured out on the ice that morning. It was like the first time I ever tried to sort of goof around with pickup hockey, and I was dead. I was sore everywhere, and I even told Kopitar, I said, hey, do you mind if we sit down for this interview? Because my legs are killing me. I played this morning, and I think I gained respect with him with that. And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so we did that, and I saw at that point, you could tell what kind of guy he was. You know, you could tell that there was no pretense, very humble. And now he's a multiple cup winner and still no pretense, very humble. So I think he's getting to the right place in his career, and he's big. He's gotten very big. So that's why I think next year he's even going to get more points.
Absolutely. And a guy who is really puncturing that firmament out there in Los Angeles. And it takes a lot for a sport like hockey out there where you can really penetrate the consciousness. But he's getting to be at the point where they know who he is walking down the street.
Yes. No question about it. I totally agree.
And that really says a lot for him. In terms of, before we get to the top tier, the creme de la creme of the list here, taking a look at a couple of the names, I know there are a handful of guys that didn't make the list that were pretty close. And I know that you and I had talked off air a little bit about a couple of guys. There were some very, very tough calls that go into making a list like this. And maybe the toughest out of them is a guy that you and I had discussed, and we had broken it down. You had alerted me to take a good, strong look at Ryan McDonagh, and I did. And that was a very, very tough miss for this list here. So talk about him and anybody else that didn't make it that you thought perhaps was deserving.
Yeah, McDonagh, I think, would be in that next tier. He, I want to say he had like 12, 13 goals. It was a career year. The Rangers really don't have an offensive defenseman, so he sort of stepped up, started playing more power play, started shooting more, started joining the play more, and started scoring more. He actually started scoring shorthanded goals first. And so that was something where you could see where the strength of him and his strength of his skating and everything else had just gotten to the point where now he's really maturing. And so I think it's fair that he's not in that group. I think he could sneak in there next year if the Rangers don't get another offensive defenseman, because he might take one more little jump point-wise, and then I think he'll sort of level out that way. But statistically, really, I mean, that's all you're really talking about for a defenseman. And at the end of the day, he's still not in that elite group of offensive defensemen.
Absolutely, in terms of being difference makers. And, yeah, he does seem at his age like he's on that growth curve. And, yeah, I would think would be more likely than not to be represented next year. But we get to the top tier, and it's very interesting to me that you have a number of guys on there, the top tier being 12 deep. There's actually, when you break it down, more guys on there than you would expect, four guys that weren't even in the top 30 last year. So it shows you the steps forward that a lot of guys took. And we start with one of them at number 12 in Joe Pavelski, who did not make the list last year. Above him, number 11, and this might be a little bit controversial. I know he'll be one of the guys we talk about, but I don't have him in the top tier. Alex Ovechkin, I'm sorry, he's on the top tier, but not the top 10. He was 30 years ago.
Right.
His plus-minus number, we say we're not doing statistics here, but when you have a plus-minus number that abysmal, I think it has to be taken into account somewhat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it definitely does.
Liability. Yeah, I think you have to do that. Number 10, again, not really taking a step backward on the list because of his injury. I would say it's just a plus in terms of the other guys who really stepped forward here. John Tavares, he was fifth on the list a year ago. My guess is he'll be higher next year. But the top tier just seems to have more depth to it, I think. Number 9, Claude Giroux, he was 12th a year ago. Number 8, Jamie Benn, one of the guys I talked about, wasn't even in the top 30 last year, as well as number 7, Tyler Seguin, he was not there a year ago, but is there now. Number 6, Evgeny Malkin, he was 4th a year ago. He's always kind of somewhere in there. Number 5, Ryan Getzlaf, he was 19th a year ago. Number 4, I had to do a double take on this. I didn't quite realize he didn't make it a year ago, but that shows you the toughness of making this list. Corey Perry, jumping all the way up to number 4, our highest jumping guy this year. Number 3, Jonathan Toews, he was 7th a year ago. That's a guy I would have put first if Chicago won the Cup, as controversial as it is. So I would have jumped him ahead of both guys who were in front of him, but I'm slotting him there for now. That was the highest I thought I could do under the circumstances. And number 1 and number 2, much like our NBA list, exactly the same as a year ago. Number 2, Steven Stamkos, and number 1 being, of course, I am anything but a Pittsburgh partisan, so I think that shows you how objective I can be, as well as putting LeBron number 1 for basketball. Some of these things are painful, but we must do that. And so that's what the list looks like, 12 through 1. Curious to get your thoughts, Russ, on some of the guys in there. I know you probably don't take issue with too many of the guys being in there, but any of them that you would have moved up or down?
No, actually, you know, I'll be honest, the only one, and really, again, he did get injured. I think, like, next year Stamkos might be ready to take this list over if he doesn't get injured, because, you know, that's he had a pretty tremendous year, even for a guy that was out with a broken leg. All that said, Crosby earned what he earned. I mean, there's no question. He continues to put up great numbers now that his head is under control and he's not having those problems. I think Corey Perry, I think the reason he is in this list is because of Ryan Getzlaf. I think Getzlaf is going to be the MVP of the league when it's all said and done after the awards. I think he's going to be the guy who gets the Pearson. And if he does, then that would be a big reason, because his year was just so good that maybe he even brought Perry to a greater height, even though Perry was an MVP of the league too, right? I mean, so it's just one, but he also is a guy that gets penalty minutes and toughness it sort of works in the Perry, which helps in some leagues and not others. So I think that probably plays into it on the fantasy end, too. Jamie Benn deserves it. I mean, he's become a star. He's been becoming a star. Tyler Seguin, you know, again, controversial because he got traded because maybe, you know, Boston didn't like his off-ice stuff, goes to Dallas, straightens out. Certainly still a fun-loving guy. I follow him on Instagram. It's not like he's a wallflower, but, you know, different organization, not as buttoned down. And really, Seguin might break into that top four or five by next year. I mean, he's continuing to go up. Giroux, if he didn't have that bad start to his season, I think would be right in that 5, 6, 7, 8 range as well. But he had a horrible start, if you remember, and a lot of people were saying, oh, my God, what's going on with Claude Giroux? And I never really jumped ship on the guy, and for good reason. Pavelski is a guy that I don't know if he can get much higher, but I believe he'll be the future captain of the San Jose Sharks when we see Joe Thornton get dealt. And although is Thornton a captain? He is, right? I believe he is.
Yes. Yes, I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah, so I think Pavelski's that next guy in line. So I really like the list, and, you know, I don't have any issue.
Well, it's very intriguing when you mention about Perry and Getzlaf, because as I look at this now, almost every year that we've done this, I would guess, you've had Pittsburgh represented as the team, the first one that's got two guys on the list. And this year it's Anaheim,
yeah,
because Perry and Getzlaf are 4 and 5. Crosby and Malkin are 1 and 6, respectively. So it's very unusual to have somebody jump ahead of Pittsburgh in that manner. You from there, you always have a number of other teams that have guys bunched up in there. And this year, of course, we have Dallas represented pretty high. We have
yep,
Chicago with not just the two guys, Taves and Kane, 13 and 14, but you got Sharp right there at 16. So there is obviously, as you would expect, a strong correlation on this list with some of the top teams in the league and some of the top talents there. Having said that, it doesn't always tell you everything, because with the LA Kings, we talked about it, Kopitar is 18. Jonathan Quick is a guy that was on the list a couple of years ago and could very well make it again next year. He was a relatively narrow miss this year, as was Drew Doughty. So when you factor in the honorable mentions, LA is right there, but it just goes to show you have to have really kind of a mix of things. And again, few teams in the league are as deep as Los Angeles, as we saw in the playoffs. Justin Williams, at this stage of his career, is never going to sniff the list, but he's pretty much become the Robert Horry of the NHL the last couple of years. So, you know,
yeah, it's a great
you
comparison.
Have to have something here. Yeah, thank you. So you really have to have kind of a balance, it seems, right, between the top-end guys
yep,
and the really kind of roster depth to succeed?
Yep, you absolutely do. And you're right about Doughty, and you're right about the other guys. It's just the way it shakes out. And look, Anaheim breezed through the regular season, and there's a reason. Perry and Getzlaf.
Absolutely. And again, this is always one of our most fun annual projects that we do. And even among all of the sports, I always really love doing the hockey one and breaking it down with you, because there's nobody that follows it closer than you. So thank you very much, my friend, for coming on and evaluating this once again. I had a great time, and people, of course, can check this out. I also, in our guide, Pro Hockey Draftology 2014. So, once again, thanks so much, Russ.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.